Standard & Poor's today downgraded the nation's fiscal outlook to negative.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Standard & Poor's says it's worried about the nation's financial health. The S&P did reaffirm the U.S. debt rating today at AAA, but the ratings agency also said there's a chance the country could be buried under insurmountable debt. A top Obama administration official said the move underestimates the resolve of those who want to fix the current budget problems, i.e. the president and the Congress. Joe Engelhardt is financial sector analyst over at Capital Alpha Partners in Washington, and he's with us now. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing well. So what does it mean that the outlook on U.S. debt's been moved, has been revised to negative?
I think what got a lot of people's attention when S&P did this was the fact they changed their outlook, meaning they see an increased chance of having to change their rating to what they said was it'd be a one-third chance, in their view, that the U.S. would not be able to resolve their political differences and come up with an acceptable plan to get down their annual deficit.
You think this is a motivator for the Congress and for the president to get together and really get some budget solutions done?
I think it is a little bit of a wake-up call. I would also say that I think that even before this, most of the senior policymakers on both sides are very well aware that there needs to be at least a medium-term and definitely a long-term solution to get the U.S. back down to its traditional debt-to-GDP levels. I'm in the sanguine camp thinking that we will be able to resolve this problem in the next 2 to 3 years, but at least S&P thinks there's 30% chance they won't.
If we have to, and this means down the road we may have to pay more to borrow, how's that going to affect a recovery, some sort of economic recovery here in this country?
I think that is a real threat. There's no question that whether international markets lost confidence in the U.S. ability to pay its debt, or in my mind, we have much greater uncertainty about what the real risks are going forward, we might end up paying more on our debt either way.
Joe Engelhardt with Capital Alpha Partners in Washington. Joe, thanks.
Thank you, Steve.
You can imagine the markets don't like the news. Let's do the numbers. Markets are off now about 1.5% or more. The Dow down 200 points at 12,141. Word from Citigroup today, first quarter profit fell by nearly a third. And home builders today reported feeling glum about the future of the housing market. The Supreme Court hears oral arguments tomorrow in a lawsuit about climate change. 6 states and New York City want the right to sue power companies over their contribution to global warming. Marketplace's Sarah Gardner reports.
We'll get to that awkwardness in a minute, but first, the case. This one started back in 2004 when George Bush was president and the Environmental Protection Agency had no desire to regulate global warming emissions. The plaintiffs, including Connecticut and California, hoped the federal courts would do it instead. They filed suit against American Electric Power and 4 other utilities that burn a lot of coal to make electricity.
These 5 companies are the biggest carbon polluters in the country. They are responsible for 10% of all the carbon dioxide from the United States and 2.5% of all the world's carbon dioxide.
The world's CO2 emissions, to be more precise. Plaintiff's attorney David Doniger says they're simply asking the courts to do what Congress won't, set a limit on how much CO2 these utilities can pump out of their smokestacks every year. That's an idea the Obama administration likes in theory, but the Justice Department is siding with the power companies on this one. Here's the awkward part.
One of the defendant utilities is the Tennessee Valley Authority.
Columbia University's Michael Girard says the federal government owns the TVA, so the Justice Department represents the utility at the Supreme Court. Girard says it's not that the feds want to let the TVA and other greenhouse gas emitters off the hook.
But they think that it's really up to the executive agencies and to Congress to set these emission standards, and that as long as that's happening, the courts shouldn't be setting these standards.
Of course, whether that's happening is debatable. The EPA is adopting greenhouse gas rules but hasn't come out with specific limits. Plaintiffs see this case as the ultimate backstop in the battle to stop global warming. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896, AllianzUSA.com. And by Manta.com, providing an online destination for small businesses to be found and to find new customers. More online at Manta.com.
Marketplace Innovations Desk is supported by Jaguar. You can experience the 2011 Jaguar XJ at a local dealer or visit jaguarusa.com.
Today's Financial Times reports European leaders are privately drawing up plans for Greece to default on its debts. The country got a $150 billion European bailout almost a year ago. But bailouts for other countries may not be an option going forward because of politics in the rest of Europe. Reporter Christopher Worth is here to explain this morning. Morning, Christopher.
Good morning, Steve.
So first Greece and then Ireland, now Portugal. Where's the danger coming from next?
Not where you might think. It's Finland.
Not Finland. I didn't know they were in financial trouble.
Well, they aren't. The country is actually in pretty good shape. But the people of Finland went to the polls yesterday and essentially said no to ponying up their own money to pay for bailouts in other parts of Europe. I spoke with Daniel Gross at the Center for European Policy Studies. He said this is part of a much broader trend.
The broader trend is that the richer countries, those who give the credits, have now a population which is more and more opposed to further bailouts, and that tension is going to mount.
Which means Finland could just be the tip of the iceberg. The key country, of course, is Germany. Gross says that if German voters take a cue from Finland, that could spell the end of these bailouts. And that could force a restructuring of much of that debt, which, put simply, would just slash the amount European countries owe. And that could ripple through the global economy. Remember, the U.S. was almost sent into a double-dip recession when the European debt crisis began.
All right. Reporter Christopher Worth in London. Christopher, thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
And finally, in this age of electronic readers and downloadable ebooks, what do you do if you want a signed copy? A new application called Autography will allow an author to email a picture of him or herself with the reader that could then be signed with a digital stylus pen and emailed later. The app will debut next month. Now, if they could only invent an app that stands in line for you at the bookstore waiting for that author to sign it. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles, online at marketplace.org. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Oil is a finite resource, as in one day there isn't going to be any more. Just don't tell that to the folks who drill for a living.
The United States Geological Survey concluded that America would be out of oil by 1935. Well, they were wrong.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, Tough Oil, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.